illustrate what gas drilling looks like in the Northeast, in Pennsylvania, there are now 71,000 active wells, and that number is expected to grow to over 120,000 wells. Over 700,000 acres of state land have been leased to gas companies. 80,000 to 100,000 wells are predicted for New York State. If this large-scale industrialization happens here like it did in Pennsylvania and in other states across the U.S., it will completely transform our area, poison much of our land, water, and air, degrade our quality of life, threaten our health and our children's health, and leave us footing the bill for the cleanup. I have a 14-year-old daughter. I don't want her to have the future that's presented in Gasland. So what can be done? We have a few suggestions. The most important thing you can do right now is communicate to the people you know about fracking. Spread the word to family and friends, other folks, your church or religious group, a club you may belong to, schools, local businesses, realtors, doctor's offices, the list goes on. It's important that we reach as many people as possible to let them know what is happening. We need to let Albany and the DC know that we, the people of New York State, do not want our water contaminated, our air made unfit to breathe, our land polluted, and we do not want an industrial zone taking the place of our beautiful wilderness and fertile farmland. To assist you in getting the message out, Frack Free Catskills would be happy to help you in coordinating a screening of Gasland. At the end of the meeting, if you're interested, you can talk to one of us. We're the people with these buttons. And we'll be out here and by the information table. And we also have a contact list for you to sign if you're interested. So now I'd like to introduce Kate Hudson, the Watershed Program Director for Riverkeeper. Riverkeeper is a member-supported watchdog organization dedicated to defending the Hudson River and its tributaries and protecting the drinking water supply of 9 million New York City and Hudson Valley residents. Kate joined Riverkeeper in February of 2011 after nearly 25 years spent in government protecting the environment of New York State. She has served as the acting regional attorney for the Department of Environmental Conservation, Assistant Attorney General in the DEC's Environmental Protection Bureau, and in 2007 staffed a 10-person unit at the DEC dedicated to pursuing claims against a wide variety of polluters for their discharges of hazardous substances and petroleum. Kate has served on the board of the Wallkill Valley Land Trust. She was a committee member of Save the Ridge, working to protect the Shongunk Bridge, and is currently a member of the Town of Gardner's Planning Board and the Town's Open Space Commission. Kate earned her law degree from the New York University School of Law, and she's here. She came from Kingston this evening, and we really, really appreciate her being here. So she's gonna come down now to answer any questions that you might have. And I ask that if you have a question, we'll call on you. We have a microphone, and if you could wait until you get the microphone to speak into it, that would be great. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you all for coming out tonight. You've actually just taken your first action. I can't tell you what it does to industry representatives when you mention Gasland. They just start, you know, grinding their teeth because this is an incredible piece of advocacy. And I would be happy to answer questions. I also have some additional ideas about ways in which you could help. I can let you know what's happening, both on the DEC front and the federal front right now. And Riverkeeper itself has a tremendous amount of information on its website, riverkeeper.org. There are links to letters that you can send to the governor and a list of events that are occurring. The most recent one, I should say, the one that's coming up the most quickly is Monday. Is a fracking day of action in Albany. I don't know if any of you can or would be interested in going, but we're hoping for a tremendous turnout. There's going to be a rally at 10:30 in front of the Capitol, and in addition, there are going to be visits to legislators in the afternoon in an attempt to try and bring this issue home. Are there any questions that I could answer?
Thank you for being here. Is there any safe and clean way to get the gas out?
Well, the easiest answer to that is there is going to be risk. There's going to be some risk. no matter how it's done. However, it can be done much better than it is being done. There are ways to recycle, for instance, the water. There are ways to contain the emissions. And I think even Josh Fox mentions in his film that there are ways to do it better. The reason, though, that it's probably not going to be done better is because it's more expensive to do it better. And that will cut the profit margin that they're looking at trying to accomplish through this drilling process. And if you don't have a regulatory system and a penalty structure that is going to make it more expensive to violate the law than to comply with the law, you will just see a race to the bottom. They'll do it the quickest and dirtiest way they can.
Thank you.
I have a question. I understand there's a difference between horizontal fracking and vertical fracking. And I don't see anybody working in these fields. Does it create jobs? Is there an argument on the other side that it creates a lot of jobs?
Well, the economic arguments go along these lines. First of all, there's obviously a lease that is negotiated with the landowner. And there is some money that is going to pass between the companies and the landowners. Whether or not that's going to be fair compensation, given what's probably going to happen to the land and their water, is a whole other question. There are a certain number of jobs associated with the actual drilling. And basically, they drill horizontally first and then vertically. Off of one well pad, you could have a number of different horizontal drilling activities going forward. There is a tremendous amount of activity around the water that is necessary for the drilling. And this is frequently small haulers that are bringing in the water from local areas. And then there's also, on the backside, a tremendous amount of activity around hauling away the wastewater and disposing of it. But there is very much of a boom and bust kind of cycle to this. And so although they will argue, oh, we're going to bring in these people and they're going to go to your local restaurants and they're going to buy things in your community, these wells are fracked probably for 2 to 3 weeks, maybe four, and then everybody moves on. And so it's not going to be sustained economic opportunity.
What kind of time frame are we talking about? Is this definitely happening? Could we stop this from happening at all, or is it definitely happening? And isn't this public land that it's happening on?
There is a possibility that it will happen on public lands, but it's also happening on private lands. And companies are, at this moment, negotiating lease agreements with people within the Marcellus Shale region of Sullivan County and
people's private land.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's also a possibility that it might happen in four state forest lands, which is a big concern, and DEC is kind of hedging on that. In terms of whether or not this is going to happen, it kind of depends who you're talking to, but DEC is in the process of completing an environmental review of the impacts of fracking. That environmental review is supposed to wrap up sometime this summer. The environmental groups, and this includes Riverkeeper, NRDC, National Resource Defense Council, Earth Justice, Catskill Mountain Keeper, we all take the position that after they finish the environmental review, then there should be regulations that are passed that are going to regulate this activity very closely. It is our fear that DEC will move from finishing the environmental review to issuing permits without doing a rulemaking. Our organization and NRDC at Earth Justice do advocacy and education, but we also do litigation. And one of the things that we are preparing right now is for the eventuality that they move forward without doing rulemaking.
When the DEC does its environmental When the DEC does its environmental review, do these other groups, like you just mentioned, do they kind of oversee, watch what they're doing when they review, when they're doing it?
Well, this environmental review process has actually been going on since 2008. And the first version of the environmental impact statement that DEC released was the subject of, I believe, 14,000 comment letters. And many of those were provided by our organizations and by people like you. As a result, they were sent back to the drawing board. And they have been going through these 14,000 comment letters. There is a governor's executive order in place right now. It was initially issued by Governor Patterson and then extended by Governor Cuomo when he came into office. It directs DEC to finish their environmental review process and issue their document by June 1 of 2011. We think that's a completely unrealistic deadline. We think DEC actually agrees with us, but the governor really is the one that has control over that deadline. And that's one of the things that on our website, Riverkeeper's website, and others are asking people to send a letter, send an email to the governor saying, do not move forward with permitting on June 1 or any time thereafter. Allow DEC the time, the staff, the resources to do the complete environmental review that needs to be done.
Would you recommend political grassroots action in that case? Would you recommend that it be directed toward the governor as a target rather than let our individual legislators? They don't affect the governor, do they? They don't influence him. And they're only there to make bills, which it's too late for anyway. Isn't really happening. I'm asking what Riverkeeper's recommendation would be for political action.
At this point, a group of environmental organizations signed on to a letter that just went to the governor last week, saying exactly what I just said. Remove this artificial deadline of June 1 and extend the moratorium indefinitely until a full environmental review can be completed and followed by rulemaking, followed by passing regulations, promulgating regulations. I'm not one to say that pressure on legislators doesn't make some kind of difference. And in fact, the way we got the moratorium issued by the governor was because we pressured the legislature to pass a bill, which indeed they did pass, and then Patterson vetoed and issued his executive order. Don't ask me exactly why, but we were told that one of the reasons why the legislature took action is that they got more calls on their citizen calls in their offices locally and in Albany on this issue, on the issue of the moratorium, than they had on any other issue. And that they took note of that.
What was the bill that you had?
This was a year ago, or actually 2 years ago, when we were afraid that that DEC was not going to revise the environmental impact statement and was going to go forward with what they had. There was a lobbying effort on the part of environmental groups and citizens to get the legislature to pass a bill that placed a moratorium on issuing permits. And that passed the legislature, amazingly, both houses, and then Governor Patterson vetoed it and instead issued an executive order doing somewhat of the same thing, but placing an artificial deadline on it.
Hi, is this on? Okay. Do you honestly believe, and it's kind of a two-part question, do you honestly believe that any true environmental study will show that there's ever any safety to this, to hydrofracking or even vertical drilling? And number two, if the answer is what I think it is, that no, that they will never be able to have a safety measure within my tolerance, which is basically zero, that the water is affected. Water is life. Water is all there is. Gas is not necessary to life. Water is necessary to all life. If that's the case, why do we even take these incremental steps or even consider talking about regulations when it should just be banned, in my opinion? And I'd really like to hear your opinion on that.
The answer is about political realities. And the political realities are that the gas companies have a tremendous amount of power and a tremendous amount of money. And they have an amazing ability. There's a Common Cause report that's coming out within the next week or two that's going to indicate how much money has been spent in the last 2 years by gas companies and people representing gas companies to influence legislators, elected officials in New York State. So we have to deal in realities. And yes, I think we would all like to say, we don't want it to happen, make it go away. But the problem is, there is a strong likelihood that we don't have the power to make it go away. And so, I mean, we are going to continue to work to make sure that it doesn't happen, but we also want to make sure that there are the protections in place in case it does go forward. If it does go forward, we would rather have regulations. We would rather have a significant penalty structure. We would rather have staff at DEC that is sufficient to be able to police what this industry is doing. Because if we have none of those and it goes forward, then we are going to be in a lot of trouble.
I understand. Can I do a parallel just to explain where I'm at? That we look at the health care bill that passed last year, which is pretty much dead center, and pretty much is still giving all kinds of money to the insurance companies, all kinds of profit. If they had started with the single-payer universal thing and moved over a little bit, it might not have been so far. By taking the stand of talking any kind of regulation, I mean, I agree with regulation. We have to have regulations. You have to push for regulations. That's about it. Regulations of none. But, I mean, if you start already compromising, you're not going to be able to get people back to where we need to be, which is where we need to be, which is keeping the water safe. That's all. Thank you.
I think we all have the same goal, and let me put it another way. If we, in fact, are able to get all of the regulation in place that we would like to see, the staff, the penalties, the bonding amounts that the gas companies would be obligated to pay up front so that they would have to clean up any environmental mess they made, close out their wells, et cetera, we will make it so expensive for them to drill in New York State that they will walk away. That is our hope. And so there is another goal behind doing all the rulemaking and making sure that they are required to do everything that would not make it safe, but push it towards less risk, will also make it more expensive for them.
You said that as of this moment, they're negotiating either with probably private people. Is there some kind of a list of the areas or the lands that they are interested in buying?
They're not buying land. They are leasing mineral rights from the landowner, which will allow them to drill under the property.
Yes.
And they have already entered into lease agreements with hundreds of landowners in the area that the Marcellus Shale lies under.
Is it our right to at least know where, or maybe who these owners are that are considering leasing to these companies?
We know where the Marcellus Shale lies, and we know who owns the land. These are private contracts, so it's not as if you could file a Freedom of Information Law request, which is something that gets filed against government, but not against private industry. Whether or not one could get access to those lists, I have heard people say that they are accessible. I do not have them.
If there was a way that we could get the lists, couldn't we sort of, like you say, send letters to legislators or to the governor? Couldn't we sort of send sort of letters of concern to these owners and sort of appeal to them to possibly reconsider going through these leases? If I had this land and I kind of had this, hey, they tell me it's going to be this is going to be that, and if I kept getting letters and letters and letters coming from all over, I might have to, not go to bed at night and really get to sleep, and maybe I would be one that would reconsider.
Well, there's a sad answer to that question. Once they've signed these leases, it's not necessarily that easy to get out of them. And there are people now who have signed leases that would like to get out of them and have not been able to. And the latest thing that I have heard is that the leases were only good for a particular period of time, 1 year, 2 years, and because process in New York for getting a permit has been pushed back, which is in fact one of the things that we keep trying to do is push it back, make it take more time. These leases are starting to run out. And I have heard that what the companies are doing is they're exercising a force majeure clause within the lease, and that's all legalese. But basically it means if something happens that's beyond the control of either of the parties, that the companies can say, we get to extend your lease even if you don't want us to. And they are starting to do that with people that want to get out of the lease. So I don't think writing letters to the people that are already involved with the lease is unfortunately going to be able to accomplish anything, because they legally can't get out of their leases.
How about those who have already signed and want to get out, getting together, sort of at least expressing their regret, at sort of communicating that this was a mistake,
I think that's a good suggestion in terms of an advocacy approach, and Catskill Mountain Keeper is actually closer to this than we are. I don't know if you're familiar with that organization, but
I want to say it's a point of information. There is a organization called Fleeced of people who feel that they have been screwed by their leases, and it's at fleeced.org. But there are also many towns in gas country, including potential gas country in New York State, where the citizens are pitted against each other. Those who feel that they need to make some money this way. And when my friend lives in one of those towns, and she asked one of her friends, how can you lease? And she said, we can't afford not to. We're losing, we can't make a living on our farm. And she was asked what she would do when her water went bad, and she said, we'll move to Florida. And it's very sad, because this is a friend of a friend,
How much do they get paid? How much are they using?
How much are they using?
I don't know.
Very erratic. It's very erratic.
And it varies between companies, and one of the things that... one of the reasons why some people would like to get out of their leases right now is not because they're having second thoughts about the drilling, but because they signed for less money than is now being offered by some of the companies. But I really don't know what the dollar figure is.
We should find that's very important to know, I think.
Even after seeing this, those people, it's still saying, I need the money?
I'm not sure that as many people as you think have seen this movie. And this is one of the great things that the two of you are doing, which is making this movie more available so that people can see it and see. Not many people, if they have not seen this movie and you tell them about lighting water on fire, they will not believe you. So, but could you let some other?
Yes.
Is this movie available on the internet so that I could send a link to everybody in my...
It's available through Netflix, so you have to pay for it, is what I'm saying. It's not something that's being freely distributed on the internet.
Could I download it and send it to people?
No. I don't think so.
Find a trailer.
There's a trailer. Yeah.
Netflix is just $10 a month.
Yeah, I have it, but I'm just wanting to send it to everybody in the state of New York that I have in my address.
Yeah, no, it's not a free movie, but it's not that, it's easily available. So,
what's the white?
Or you could buy a copy and then distribute to your friends.
Yeah, what? I have an FTP website. I could upload it.
Yeah.
I can download it from there for free.
No, I'm. It's a commercial movie. So.
What's the White House position on fracturing?
The White House hasn't taken a position on fracturing, but there was just an energy speech that. That the president made recently, and unfortunately, natural gas as a bridge fuel featured prominently in
clean,
that speech.
Clean
and,
gas.
What's that?
Clean natural gas.
Well, that's like clean coal, isn't it? No, I mean, it is actually one of the unfortunate games that gets played about this is that natural gas, when it's actually burned for energy purposes, releases less greenhouse gases.
No, less CO2.
Less CO2. But that doesn't look at any of the impacts, even the greenhouse gas emission impacts, associated with extracting it from the ground. So it's a very unfair thing to say, oh, it's this wonderful clean fuel. They're only looking at when it's used, not when it's extracted.
Yeah.
The movie mentioned that the produced water that they were speaking of was being shipped down to the Gulf of Mexico. Where would the water in the Northeast hydrofracking be taken? They're not going to take it all the way down to the Gulf.
Well, that was actually water that was being produced in those states that were along the Gulf of Mexico. This is one of the big issues, what to do with the wastewater. And I don't know if people did read the Ann Urbana series of articles in the New York Times, but if you can get a hold of it, you should read them. The three articles, investigative reporting, that was absolutely amazing. I think the first one came out the very end of February, and they came out in a series within about a week or 10 days. One of the things that we learned through that article is that there is wastewater or flowback water that is being generated in Pennsylvania that's actually being trucked to be disposed of in New York, in Western New York. And it's being disposed of by being taken to treatment plants that don't have the capability to remove many of the contaminants that are in the wastewater. So this is a significant problem because they are not going to be allowed to inject it into deep wells, which is one of the things that they have been doing out west. And I don't know if anybody read about the cluster of earthquakes that occurred in
Arkansas,
which they now believe is connected with the deep well injection of these waste fluids that was going on. That cannot happen here. So they are going to have to treat it, recycle it, or dump it. I mean, one of the other articles that I read recently is that a small hauler who was being hired to take loads of this wastewater to treatment plants actually would just go to a stream and dump it in there and then not have to pay the money for the treatment plant use.
Kate, thanks so much for taking the time to come here to Catskill tonight. I am just wondering, since you have a legal background, and you were talking about, you know, we need to deal with realities, and in relationship to the now, you know, finding about the trucking of the wastewater. in Buffalo, they passed legislation to ban fracking, I believe. Did you hear about that? That was a few months ago.
Yeah, there are a number of towns and counties in New York State that have passed resolutions to ban fracking within their borders.
I was just wondering if the, you know, how realistic might that be if every if everybody could get their town to ban fracking, or at the very least to ban the dumping of fracking waste in their area.
There is, in terms of banning fracking, there are some real legal hurdles there, because the environmental conservation law in New York State reserves to the state the right to regulate mining and basically takes that authority away from local governments. The only authority local governments has with respect to regulating mining has to do with traffic and where in the particular municipality the mining would be allowed to occur. So through zoning, you could say you can do it over here, but you can't do it over there. You cannot pass a law that says you can't do it anywhere in my town. One of the things that I would have wanting to take on, and Riverkeeper is we want to put together a municipal toolkit that will make it much clearer to, related to fracking, to local governments what authorities they do have to be able to try and control fracking activity in their communities. So that's something that we're going to be working on in the coming months.
Right. I mean, I'm just bringing that up because here in Greene County, there seems to be a tendency to view us as some sort of dumping grounds. And I'm just like, you know, really worried about the this sort of inevitability of if fracking does begin in New York and then they start looking for places to dump it. I know they're going to be coming right here. And I don't know, I just, you know, trying to figure out what prevention techniques we can start to put in place.
Well, I think the local, but with respect to the disposal of liquid waste, you know, this is DEC's job. They're supposed to be regulating treatment plants and what it is they're taking in and what it is they're discharging. To the extent, and this is one of the things that Riverkeeper relies on, we are very much water quality focused, both in the watershed and in the Hudson River. We rely on local citizens. You're our eyes on the ground, and particularly now that the DEC staff has been cut so much, they're not out there looking. You are the people that are out there and seeing what's happening in your town and in your backyard, and you need to report it to DEC, but report it to us too, because, you know, we are watchdogging those agencies, and we want that information.
Do you know if any of these leases have been signed in Greene County or any of the counties right around us?
I am not positive about that. I don't know the answer to that. I know that their leases have been signed in Sullivan County. Do you know?
I think the closest to us, I saw a map and it looked like there's been land leased on the border of Sullivan and Delaware County. I'm not sure that's closer, but yeah, I think what Kate said is right. Sullivan County, a few maybe in Delaware, but I don't believe in this area.
Schoharie.
At Schoharie County? Okay.
They are registered with the counties, and one should be able to find that from your county. It's the only place the leases are registered.
So legally, I know you say you don't think this could ever be stopped, but what are the legal steps that you are taking to try to do that? Are you, or I'm just trying to understand the process of, like, the rally on Monday, what is the goal?
The goal of the rally on Monday is to influence the governor to slow down the process, basically, because he has in place a June 1, 2011 date that says, DEC, you now have to issue your environmental impact statement on June 1, ready or not, and then we'll have a 60 or 90 day public comment period, and then we'll move forward. This governor is very, very sensitive to public opinion. He wants to run for another term. If he gets the very strong sense that he's moving down a path that is going to be very unpopular with a lot of people in this state, it will influence his position. And it is not DEC calling the shots, ultimately, even though they are leading the environmental review process. And Commissioner Joe Martens has given interviews that made it very clear that he would actually like to have more time, but that it was not his call. So to the extent that we can influence the governor, it's going to slow down the process. And slowing down the process makes it more expensive, gives us more time to put more layers of requirements on. It gives us more opportunity to learn lessons from Pennsylvania about things that we don't want to do. So time is incredibly significant. In the best of worlds, I don't see it being the case that New York is going to say no. There can be no natural gas drilling in New York State. I think in the best of worlds, we get very strict regulations. And by the way, if regulations have to be promulgated, those will take several years. So then we're pushing off the day of reckoning for another 2 to 3 years. And one of the things that I haven't mentioned is that EPA has undertaken a study of the safety of fracking around the country, not just in New York. And that study is supposed to be completed in 2012. No, it might be 2013, I can't. It's somewhere late 2012, early 2013. And one of the things that we have been pushing is that New York shouldn't move forward with any kind of permitting of natural gas drilling until we see that EPA study. And by the way, the EPA study is actually happening because there was another EPA study that was done under a Republican administration that found no problems with natural gas drilling. And now, you know, somebody has decided it might be a good idea to revisit that. And again, you know, this is, we commented on the scope of the EPA study. So to your point that, you know, are we paying attention to these processes? Are we commenting on them? We're trying to influence them. And that's something that you'll see on our website as well.
Because so many millions of people drinking water comes from the Catskill watershed, is this issue something that would ever be a referendum before the voting public?
Well, we don't have the same kind of a referendum or proposition process that California has. So any kind of vote would just be another way of showing the governor how he felt about it, or legislators. And it would be interesting to do something like that, either online or through some other mechanism, right around the time of re-election, to really send that message loud and clear. But there is no actual legal political process through which this decision could be made through referendum.
Thank you for coming, Ms. Hudson. My question is this. In terms of New York City's drinking water, I think it's around 4 billion gallons a day travel down to New York City and the boroughs of New York City. If we're looking at that, and New York City acquired these lands far north of New York City and west New York City by eminent domain, it's a crown jewel for New York City and their suburbs. Why would New York City and everybody in there not be protecting this, vehemently, and not have this understanding? I mean, everybody down there gets their water from up here.
Well, actually, New York City, both the City Council and New York City DEP have come out strongly against hydrofracking in the watershed. They have made that clear. They've testified. They've submitted comments to DEC. And so they are taking a strong position against hydrofracking in the watershed. So in fact, they are. The concern we have is the way in which DEC has decided to handle this, is they've said, we're not going to include the review of the environmental impacts associated with fracking in the impact statement that we're doing right now. So the impact statement we're doing right now excludes the watershed. So that means you can only permit drilling outside the watershed until somebody comes along and wants to do it in the watershed, and then they have to pay for another environmental impact review that will be specific to that particular location. And everybody thinks that will be a disincentive because it'll be an added expense at a time to the drilling companies. Frankly, my feeling is once they've drilled out everything outside the watershed, then they're going to turn around and pay for the environmental impact statement inside the watershed. And we would all rather see an outright ban. And that's something we would want the legislature to address.
Right. My last point on that is, if it's Schoharie County, Schoharie, and the Croton, and Pacton, and all these areas are already covered with that watershed, the Schoharie watershed, the Delaware, so how are they getting leases to these watersheds if they're outside their review?
Well, DEP, to the extent that DEP owns lands, if that's what your question is, DEP is not going to give them leases for those areas. But there are lands inside the watershed that are privately owned. There are lands inside the watershed that are part of the Catskill Park, and we have not gotten a clear indication from DEC as to what they intend to do with respect to leasing within the park.
Thank you.
And the Delaware watershed is not included in that deal. It's just the New York City watershed.
I'm curious about the history of how this all got started so quickly. I've been aware of hydrofracking for maybe a couple of years, and from the movie, it looks as if it's been going on down in Louisiana and Texas for decades. But was it the 2005 Energy Act that sort of let everything mushroom around here?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. Obviously, drilling for natural gas has been going on for many, many, many years. But one of the developments, the more recent developments, is the horizontal drilling as opposed to the vertical drilling. And the horizontal drilling is what is allowing them to capture the gas in formations like the Marcellus Shale. Because the gas, the fissures, the cracks in the shale are generally vertical. And so if you drill down, you might hit one, you might not. If you're drilling horizontally, you have a much better chance of hitting a number of different places where their natural gas is located. So part of it is they're developing a technology that allows them to access the gas that is economically viable, where there's a significant profit margin. They didn't have that before, and so it would have cost them way too much money to get at this gas. I think the Halliburton loophole that exempted gas drilling from the Clean Water, Drinking Water Act, and in fact, over the years, gas drilling has been exempted from 7 federal environmental laws.
Is this thanks to Dick Cheney? Yeah.
Well, Dick Cheney and others. It's very, very, very unfortunate. And it is one of the reasons why trying to advocate in the state arena has become so important, because the federal government and EPA basically has both hands tied behind their backs in terms of this. And we're certainly not getting any kind of revisions to these laws out of this Congress. So we have to look to the state to protect us.
Thank you.
What can be done on the international level, first in terms of clean air and water as human rights, and secondly, in terms of the establishment of an international tribunal for crimes against the environment and ecocide?
I'm afraid you're getting beyond my my realm of expertise.
I don't know about internationally. I know there is an organization called the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, and they work with communities, helping them to establish ordinances, and one of their big things is helping communities establish the earth has a right to exist as itself, without being exploited, without, you know, being viewed as a source of resources. So it's a very interesting approach. It's kind of turning that around. The Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. I think they're based in Pennsylvania, and I think they've been working with communities in Pennsylvania. I know they have around issues with coal, but they're starting to work with communities in, with natural gas issues too.
The one thing that I would say about the international approach to these issues is that in Europe, the industries are forced to operate under what we call the precautionary principle, which means they have to prove that something is not going to be hazardous to human health before they can introduce it into the stream of commerce. Unlike the United States, where it is the government and people, citizens, who have to prove that it is harmful in order to get it out of the stream of commerce. And we would love to see the burden be on the gas companies to show that what they're proposing to do is not going to harm the environment before they get a permit.
Thank you, first of all, for coming here and getting behind this. So you're welcome. Quite an issue. For one thing, one little bit of good news is that I heard that the Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame has come out against fracking. That might help a little bit. But here we have, Bechtel is Dick Cheney's water company. So I think all of this is so beautifully tied into destroying clean, beautiful water so that we all have to purchase it all around the world. And it's an idyllic plan that's happening. It's being set forth. But this seems sort of niggling, but back to making that film available for free, I think would be very beneficial and worth putting our money behind somehow, so that instead of people having to go to Netflix or pay $10 to get it and push it out there, I think we could reach so many more people if it were available to us all just to send to our friends. And I would like to see some campaign. I don't know how the rights can be bought from Josh or how that can be implemented, but I think it's pretty necessary, really.
No, I agree. I think I'm not sure that I should speak for him in terms of from the commercial aspect of it. And trust me, the money that he's making off this film is getting fed right back into this issue. So it's not like he's getting rich. In fact, he's going to be appearing at an event in New York City next Thursday. I don't know the specifics of it, but I think Mountain Keeper is involved with it as well. And so he continues to, use this film. I mean, I guess I would like to see grassroots organizations buy a copy of the film and make it available to people within their communities.
And also be on everybody's website, all of your group, everybody's...
We can't really do that because of copyright. It's a problem.
Couldn't that be dealt with the copyright? It's so important.
I understand what you're saying. I do. By the way, I rent my films for free from my local library.
Is it in the library?
I haven't asked yet, but they can get it.
Oh, because also, like, right now, if you had a stack of 20 of them, I'm sure there's some of us would be buying some. Mm-hmm. Especially if you could make it to like $10 a DVD, which it would be more affordable. But I would be more than happy to buy two or three of them.
I have one of my first you can have for $10.
I will buy it.
That's a great idea.
I happen to be the old school, and it's very difficult for me to click and say, okay, PayPal or something. I don't want any of that. You understand? So a lot of things I don't buy.
But these are wonderful ideas for Drag Free Catskills.
When
It's actually a fairly short period of time. And my understanding is 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks at the most. That is after the vertical and horizontal drilling. So in other words, they have to drill down to a certain depth, and then they start to move horizontally. And as they're moving horizontally, they force, fracking is basically the forcing of a great deal of water with these chemicals and salts and sand that we've heard described in the movie into the rock to basically cause small fractures as it moves forward. And so once they have the actual setup of the pad and the drilling down can take weeks. So I don't want to imply that they sort of show up for 3 weeks and then they're gone. And one of the impacts that we haven't really talked about, because it seems less pressing than the health impacts in the movie, but this is tremendously destructive of the landscape and habitat and wildlife and bird life. And these scars remain even after the hydrofracking has stopped and they've all left.
Have they looked into sealing those fractures that they create with something so that it doesn't continue to harm the environment?
Yeah.
Obviously, it seems like it continues to harm the environment even though they're not taking the gas out.
The short answer is that they are supposed to close the well. Closing the well does not, once they're done with it, closing it does not involve doing anything down there in the horizontal fracture. It means putting a cap on the well at ground surface. And that is, in fact, a huge issue that was just reported on recently. There are thousands and thousands of abandoned wells in New York State. There are a number of different kinds of wells. They're not just gas wells. But this is a huge problem. There are like 20, 30,000 wells that have been abandoned in New York State, and they become, because they're unsealed, the source of contaminants moving up into the groundwater and the surface water and into the air. And it is the result of the fact that the bond that mining companies were required to, or drilling companies were required to post, was so small that they just forfeited the bond and walked away. And now the state has to figure out how it's going to come up with the money and the resources to seal all these wells. And this is only a cautionary tale, because if they don't create a bond amount this time around, and I know you don't even want to hear about it going forward, but this is one of these protections that will also make it more expensive for them to do it. If those aren't in place, you know, we're going to create another 40,000 unsealed wells in our future that will continue to cause problems.
So it's like Deepwater Horizon, only with gas instead of oil.
Very good analogy.
Oh.
How do we get this program room to come to my school?
Oh. Just sign up on our sign up sheet and we will work with you.
Has anybody have the groups looked at approaching this issue from a health standpoint of how much money it is going to cost the states and the government because people are getting sick and cleaning up the environment and all of the other things that kind of come with it?
Well, certainly we're approaching it that way, but I can't say that the state government is approaching it that way. And I think you got a little bit of the flavor, but not the full hit, of the fact that the gas companies continue to take the position that none of this is because of their activities. And none of these health problems that these people are complaining about has anything to do with gas drilling. And this is where we get back to the burden of proof problem, because our point is, well, listen, they're living right next to a drill rig, and they're having health problems. You prove to us that it's not the gas drilling. But their position is, you have to prove to us that it is. You heard Hanger from Pennsylvania say, well, we're supplying water to the three homes that have proved that their problem is related to the gas drilling. But all those other people that have problems, they haven't proved it yet, so we're not required to do anything about it. And this is a real, and this kind of pushback makes government very nervous. they're not going to turn around and say, you have to, we're not going to do this because you caused these problems, unless there is something that they can point to that says, here's the proof.
On the health thing, there is an organization called, I think it's Physicians Against Fracking, based out of New York City, that's working on specifically the health issues. And they've done a report based on the air pollution caused by fracking that's calling for 20,000 plus deaths that have already happened because of the air pollution. So it's not just groundwater, it's not just that, and there are definitely people working on it. Their goal is to sign up hospitals and other physicians to be part of this and actually change the process so that the somehow the physicians are part of the approval process or something. I forget the regulatory thing they're trying to do, but maybe you know more about that than I do.
No, but I'm really happy to hear that you are getting involved. I think that kind of expertise is very, very significant. It's much harder for gas company representatives to tell a doctor that he doesn't know what he's talking about, or she knows what she's talking about, than just an individual from an environmental group. And I think the air impacts are something that have been underplayed. And just the other day, there was an interview on NPR about the level of ozone in that county in Wyoming, which is worse than in Los Angeles during the summertime. You can imagine that.
I may have missed this in the film, but I gather that quite often there's radioactivity also in the water that comes out of these wells, and it's millions and millions of gallons per well.
That's a very good point. The radioactivity that's coming out is called NORM, or naturally occurring radioactive material, which exists deep underground, and the fracking, the action of fracking, is bringing that material up to the surface. And then now, all of a sudden, it is in the fracking waste, both the solid and the liquid waste. And this is one of the things that the New York Times article addressed. This liquid waste with this radioactive material in it is now being brought to sewage treatment plants, municipal sewage treatment plants, that have no ability to address the radioactive material in that waste. It is then being, it goes through the treatment plant, it's then being discharged into rivers, and downriver from the discharge point is drinking water intakes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Again, I'm trying to, first of all, it's ignorance number one, I think, that makes people really give in to these companies. They're sitting on maybe acres of land, and then these people come along and they offer them a lot of money. And they really haven't seen, like you said, the film, and they don't know about Physicians for Fracking and all this kind of stuff. So can you tell me how many acres do these companies look for? I mean, what's the minimum? You know, they're looking at land in the area, they're finding the private homeowners, and then they go to them to try and lease this or buy this land from them. What kind of acreage are they looking for?
Well, I think the minimum for permitting is 4 acres, but it doesn't necessarily have to come from one person. They can lease the mineral rights of a number of different homeowners in an area. And one of the things that is concerning, very concerning to me about New York's regime is that New York allows or requires forced pooling. And what that means is one drill pad is established, and then from that drill pad, horizontal fracturing can go out. The drill pad has to be on land that they've leased from the owner, but the horizontal drilling can go out underneath the lands of people that have not signed a lease.
But couldn't we, maybe this sounds crazy, but couldn't we find out, I don't know how to do it, but find out who these private owners are, and if we had a passionate letter with a DVD sent to them?
I encourage you to go ahead and do that. As I said, the problem really is, well, there's many problems. One is that to the extent that they've already signed leases, they are not going to be able to get out of those leases just because, you know, they want to, unfortunately. And the other is that, you know, there's an economic force pushing in the other direction for certain people. And that, I say, if you think that that's an appropriate or a useful way to advocate, I encourage you to do it. Riverkeeper is more focused on pressing at the government, at both the legislative and the executive, to try and get them to make the right decisions and put in the right safeguards. So we'll join forces on either side of the issue.
It doesn't have to be Riverkeeper, but I'm just saying that if those people who haven't been hit yet with a plea for the leases, maybe they could, if they see this DVD and they get all of this information before, saying, hey, you may be contacted, please look at this first.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, have you heard of this project called the Van Etten Listening Project? There's something called the Van Etten Listening Project, where people in Van Etten were being, in a small town outside of Ithaca, were being asked to sign leases, and this group of people got together and they went. Their goal was to go to knock on every single door in the small town of Van Etten and just ask people, what do you care about this land? How did you come here? Have you heard about natural gas drilling? What do you know about it? And their goal wasn't to persuade anyone one way or the other. It was just open conversation. Have every single person think about it and know that other people were thinking about it. And that was their way of opening up the conversation in that town. So, you keep bringing up this idea. That's how I would respond to that.
Yes, I think that's and if they had the DVD, go ahead and give it to them and say, take a look. Just take a look.
I mean, a lot of it is just a lack of information. And actually, not even a lack of information, misinformation. And this is one of the things that the companies have spent a tremendous amount of money on is PR to try and spread misinformation about this issue. And so they're doing it, with billboards and ads and TV ads and all kinds of things. We obviously don't have the same kind of budget. It's people in local communities going to talk to their neighbors that is going to be what counters that message. So
there are a few websites, too, and I don't know what they are offhand, but you can find them that just have pages of, gas industry myths and myth busting, like what they're putting out there and what the facts really are. So do some research. It's really interesting.
She wants the movie.
You like the movie. It's great. It's great. I mean, this is my third time seeing this movie, and I still find it riveting. It's
For those who are more comfortable with social media, Riverkeeper has a blog and a Facebook page that addresses this issue. So please make use of it. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm so happy.